Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Ian, Bonnie, and Aria joining you tonight. The phones are open. If you want to join us, you can bring up whatever is on your mind. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can join us online. Just head over to freetalklive.com and enjoy the features that we have waiting for you there. Lots of different things that you can do at freetalklive.com. Including download the show. We've got the podcast is back to its old ways, back prior to September when we did some experimenting with the podcast there for a little while. And our experiment didn't work. We were hoping that going Daily Digest only would encourage more sharing, more views, or more listens, that sort of thing. And, we changed our mind on that one and went back to the old ways where you get all of the content in the feed. And if you don't like some of it, well, we have filtered feeds that you can subscribe to. So if you still just want to get the Daily Digest only, you can do that. Just go to feeds.freetalklive.com. There's a special feed there for that. There's also a feed if you only, you don't like the Digest, you just want to get just the show. There's a feed for that, too.
Which is somewhat more understandable. Like, if you're going to listen to the full show, then there's literally nothing for you in the Digest. Because the Digest only has the content that you can also find in the full show. The Digest just cuts it down into an easily digestible 30
correct
minutes best of that episode.
So, check that out at feeds.freetalklive.com. And, of course, there's the normal feed, which has all of those things in it. Maybe some days you want the Digest. Maybe some days you don't want the Digest. You're pressed for time, so you need the Digest, that kind of thing. So it's up to you how you can consume what we put out there, which you can learn more about at feeds.freetalklive.com. All right, so Aria, you found a type of surgery tonight that was a surprise to you, and you've done a little bit of research on surgeries. You've gone under the knife at least once or so in the last year.
Twice.
Yeah,
as it turns out. Yep.
I was going to say, is Aria like public about that? Some
I didn't want to reveal
say.
It.
I appreciate that. I assume there was a reason you were...
Yeah, I knew you had mentioned you had had a surgery, but you didn't say how many or exactly what.
I've had two surgeries, for anyone curious. I have to find the, here it is. One of them was a forehead contouring, a brow lift, so to speak, a facial feminization, basically. That was the simpler of the two procedures. The other is a lawsuit waiting to happen at some point.
Well,
what other recourse do I have, man? Mm-hmm. I had vocal surgery in January of last year, and I did everything I was supposed to do. I quit smoking beforehand. I still have
still quit smoking.
Have not had a cigarette or any nicotine in more than a year. Super proud of
congrats.
That.
Congrats. Right, we've been a year on drinking.
Awesome. Yep. I don't know the exact day that I quit smoking, because the last cigarette I smoked, it meant nothing to me. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, I quit smoking on this day. This is my last one. I'm like, I legitimately don't know. It was somewhere in December or January. That's all I know, because it was meaningless to me. It was just, here's
gross
the thing I've been
doing.
That wasn't, well, it was gross, but not, it was gross because of the chantics that I was making it more gross. Anyway. So I ended up having vocal surgery as well, and Adam's apple reduction, trachea shaving is what they call it. Sounds super painful when they put it that way. Yeah.
Yeah.
And clearly, the vocal surgery was botched. I don't know what else to say at this point. My voice has never recovered, and from what I can tell, it's never going to recover. It certainly isn't feminized. It's slightly higher pitched than it was.
What do you mean by recover? Like...
There's no depth to it. There's no strength to my voice. If someone breaks into my house and tries to murder me, no one will hear me screaming for help because my voice just isn't there. It can't make that volume of noise.
Mm.
So, yes, two different surgeries. But those were, as I mentioned previously, in the direction of making myself more what I want to be, feminizing myself, transitioning. I'm trans, as listeners may not be aware. Everyone has something about their body that they don't like. Sometimes it's a minor thing. Sometimes it's a major thing. Right? Like, I don't like my broad shoulders. not enough to do anything about it, right?
Okay.
I didn't like my muscles, not enough to do anything about it. Mm-hmm. This guy that
you're usually better off being okay with yourself,
right,
even though you don't might not like a thing or two, because as you pointed out here, surgery has serious risks.
Yes.
Right? Anytime you go under the knife, there's a risk of death.
There is.
Anytime you have surgery,
even from the anesthesia being done wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, it's pretty serious. So what's this guy doing?
So this guy is getting leg lengthening surgery. But as you point out, any surgery is a matter of risk. Like, is this a thing that's serious enough that I'm willing to die to have it fixed?
That's basically what you have to ask yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. Because no matter what the chance of death actually is, there's always some chance of death, especially for some of these facial surgeries and feminization surgeries, like this one, where they literally cut off my face, chiseled away bone, and to put my face back on, right?
That sounds so crazy.
So much can go wrong in that.
Yeah.
So you're going to...
And didn't you have headaches for months?
Yeah, and I still do, and there's still two bumps. But again, lawsuits waiting to happen. Those aren't as big a concern to me as the voice thing. So this guy, he's short. He's 5'2".
Of course he is.
And I can
my height.
I can sympathize with the plight of short people. One of my best friends is short. I mean, like, short. Probably 5'3", 5'4", something like that. And
it's tough for a guy.
A guy?
Yeah, it can't be easy, man. And I say this as someone who's a little over 6 feet tall. I'm not unusually tall, but I'm taller than the average American. It's got to be difficult.
It has to be, especially considering women tend to like taller guys.
They do. And this guy mentions this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to skip part of it and get right into the article here.
Where is it from? I'm sorry, you might have already said it.
It's from Business Insider.
Okay.
As a school counselor, Ibram Algin's job, and I'm going to butcher his name repeatedly, I'm just going to go with Abraham,
okay,
was to help young people solve their problems, yet he couldn't solve his own, a serious height complex.
Mm.
And this is why I sympathize with him, why I understand his desire to have the surgery, right? If you're 5'2", people have been picking on you for your height,
your
making
life.
Jokes about your height your entire life. Even if they're good-natured and you've learned to adapt and laugh about it, it's going to cause some issues. Abraham, who's now 30, is from the city of Adana in southern Turkey. He was 5'2" and has strong feelings about his height. If you're shorter, people don't take you as seriously as a tall person, he told Insider. And this is another thing where I work at. There's two assistant managers, there's myself, and there's the short person I was talking about. If people, when they go into a place, they're inclined
to... And he's a manager as well, isn't he?
Yes, he's... Okay. There's two assistant managers. There's me and him.
Okay, got it.
And when people go into a place, they're inclined to find the male in charge. When I worked at Radio Shack, I saw this extensively. We had a female general manager, and no one ever went to her with their questions.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it was just a thing that people did. When they go into a store and they want to ask a question, they find the man in charge.
Right.
And it was like, well, let me ask our boss, and then you go ask a girl, and it's, you can watch them have a little blue screen
what?
Of death temporarily.
Yeah.
But, this person that I work with, he's short, and people never, go to him. And it's because he...
No, I said I wanted the manager.
Right.
Oh, my God.
And I can only imagine how that affects someone through their whole life,
yeah.
Right?
I think being short as a man is definitely a lot worse in society than being short as a woman, but it happens to me all the time. I get constantly talked to like I'm a little kid. Actually, at the post office, the lady said, "What can I do for you, kiddo?"
Oh, God.
You're in your mid-20s.
I know. It's crazy. The other day I went to return something, and it's not like she said kiddo, but it's just a certain way people talk to me sometimes that I'm just like, they act like they're like being nice to a little kid.
Oh, your mom let you have the credit card? Oh, that's so cute.
And I'm just going to start talking to them like I think they're so old, they probably should be in home, and I hope that they're... are you driving your cell phone?
Oh, my God.
Please do. That's awesome. Are you driving your cell phone today? I love that example. That's fantastic. But, I think it speaks a lot that the people who come into this place, they're more likely, they're more willing to engage with a trans person than they are a short person, right? If you give them the option between the two of us being in charge, you got the tall tranny and the short sis
with
dude.
With the red hair.
Yeah.
Red hair.
And they tend to go to me instead.
Yeah.
Very,
wow.
Very curious. It says something about people. I don't know what it says, but you're welcome to think about it. So this guy, Ibrahim, said if you're shorter, people don't take you as seriously as they do a tall person. He said he felt he wasn't confident enough to help students at his school. I strongly believe that charisma is one of the must-have features in leadership. When you're short, you start 1-0 down.
Did it say he was a high school guidance counselor? I know they said guidance counselor.
They didn't specify what age, I don't think.
Because there's
just a school counselor.
Yeah, if he's a high school counselor, most of the students are probably taller than him.
Probably. But right. If you're seated behind a desk, that's less obvious. And that's
okay,
probably,
but you're going to walk around the halls
okay,
at
yeah,
some
fair point. So Abraham, who this article has helpfully used his weird last, no offense to the guy, he's, you know, Turkish. They've used his weird last name throughout all of this instead of just calling him Abraham, so I'm having to...
That's how they do it.
Abraham said his colleagues made jokes about his height at least once a week, and again, this happens with my short coworker. He makes the jokes more often than not, but it's just like
a fat
person.
Mechanism.
Yeah.
It's a fat person making fun of the fact that they're fat. It's absolutely... He said he felt tall people around him were more popular and had more opportunities. They were more advantageous in both private relationships and recruitment. He said he'd never forgotten his first girlfriend telling him that she wished he was taller.
Oh,
that's really sad. Yeah. When I read that, I was like, that's literally so sad.
But it probably happens all the time, right?
That's
and it is one of those screwed up double standards where a girl can say to a guy, you're too short, but he can't say to her, that's okay, you're too fat.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, you could.
I think they should be upset. Yes, but oh my God, then you're fat shaming.
Mm. Well, whatever.
I agree, but to that type of person, you're not allowed to do that. You can turn someone down all day long for being short, but because they're trans or because they're fat, no.
Well, that's the thing. Well, most people, you can do something about your weight, right?
Right.
Unless you want to cut your body open like this guy apparently did, there's really not much you can do about your height. And some people have said that people who have been fat and are no longer have looked back and actually thanked the people that gave them a hard time because it actually, in some cases, woke them up and made them feel like they needed to do something about it. I'm not saying I support being mean to people, but if you are a friend or somebody who cares about a person, maybe it's not a bad thing to bring it to their attention. Like, you know, maybe they've let themselves go too long and they just need someone to say, hey, what are you doing to yourself?
I mean, in general, it's unhealthy to be overweight.
It absolutely
is. That's why it's overweight.
Yeah, there's this ridiculous propaganda that's going on now to try to pretend like being fat is healthy, and it's ridiculous.
No, being healthy is healthy, right? I understand that most Americans are too skinny, right? But the ancient Greeks said they were fuller.
Wait. Did you say most Americans are too skinny?
Okay.
Have you looked around?
Okay, yes. No, most Americans are too fat. Okay.
Yeah.
Americans idolize the people who go too far the other direction and who are too skinny. That's what I meant to say. Whereas it's okay to have a little meat on your bones.
Sure.
But to the average American, no. If you're not a supermodel with a thigh gap and all these other things, and you weigh 12 pounds, like a 18, you know, 12 pounds, then you're overweight. That's
how
the average
aren't even real anyway. They're all, photoshopped.
Yeah.
You know, back in old days, they were airbrushed.
But I remember when I was, like, in my early 20s, reading an article about Keira Knightley, who was in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Yep.
She was remarking about how she was told by her agent that she wouldn't be able to get the role because she was overweight.
Whoa.
Wow.
Keira Knightley. Who, what is she, 120 pounds at the most, soaking wet? It's just insane how people take things in the other direction.
Even if she's, like, heavier than that, she's, at least during the, because I've only seen her in Pirates of the Caribbean, she's, like, proportional and nice looking. She's not fat at all.
Yeah, she's absolutely gorgeous. Anyway, so Abraham researched methods that claim to help a person grow taller. He took powders and pills to increase his height. He played basketball, swam, and jumped. And we've all been there when you don't like something about your party, when you don't like something about yourself, right? As a trans person, I've been there. I was like, okay, this will feminize my face. Let's take it. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't do anything or insert whatever cure it's supposed to have. And it does nothing.
Work. No.
I used to hang from a bar minutes before going to sleep almost every night.
Man.
I used reflexological insoles that claimed to stimulate height increase. So, I mean, he wore the little magnetic bracelets, right? Yeah. That was supposed to help heal him or whatever. Nothing worked, obviously, except for shoes with hidden heels that made him up to 3 inches taller.
Okay.
But they weren't enough. It was like a false dream. Every time I took off shoes, I was facing reality again. My obsession was getting bigger every day. And I think it's fascinating how much self-awareness he has about this issue. He knows that his obsession with height was an obsession, and it was unhealthy, and it was driving him to do unhealthy, desperate things.
Right.
Yeah, like people who just think they're ugly and put, like, way too much makeup on to where it's just, like, basically like a mask. I think that a lot of times they you know, just keep doing it because they want to cover their face up. And maybe one day somebody, I don't know, they just need confidence to be told, like, oh, you look good naturally in some way. But they don't see it, basically. But this guy saw what he was doing when he took his shoes off.
So after two rounds of leg lengthening surgery, Abraham added 5 inches to his height. Was that at me with the makeup thing?
No.
I do wear a lot of makeup. So, Abraham,
is it going to tell us how they do this?
I hope not. But I'm curious about it, right? Because where do you add 5 inches to someone's height, right?
I mean, you got to. Are we grafting bone in or something like that?
What do you know about the muscle?
It explains it, and it's crazy.
Because, I mean, you can't just add 5 inches of bone because then the muscle doesn't reach.
Right.
So he didn't tell anyone about his first operation in February 2015, thinking they wouldn't understand. He's right. Most people wouldn't understand. Most people don't have these sort of severe issues with their body. And if they do, they're just, oh, I can just deal with it.
And he said there was 2
yes.
operations?
Okay. Each of them made him about 2.5 inches taller, as
wow.
it turns out. It made him 2.4 inches taller. When people noticed, he said that he had a bone deformity and needed surgery to rectify it. He had a second operation in March of 2020 that added another 2.4 inches to his height. A 2020 review of outcomes of cosmetic limb lengthening surgery found the most common complications were deformation of the newly generated bone after treatment had ended. So are they using some sort of stem cell technology to grow a person, a lengthened bone or a bone graft?
So that's a big guess, but it's weirder than that.
It's weirder than that?
Yeah. I think so.
And it's in this story?
It's in the article.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, because I hadn't gotten that part into it. I just
read
this, and like the gist of it is fascinating, of someone who he knows how unhealthy his obsession was, and yet he goes on to found his own Turkey-based clinic that offers leg-lengthening surgery. So instead of being a counselor or a therapist like he's trained to do and help people work out these issues, he's like, hey, pay some money and make it go away. Don't fix your unhealthy obsession with therapy and introspection and, you know, making different life choices and learning to deal with it. Just pay this $25,000 to have this unhealthy, dangerous surgery.
The most unfair.
You're making that number up, right?
No, it's about
$25,000.
Yeah, it was like $24,000, something like that. I have to scroll all the makeup in which case. $26,850.
I was going to say, the most unfair thing about this whole situation with this guy is this type of thing probably happened to him from malnutrition as a child, because it's like people are, you know, supposed to be a little bit taller than that, and it most likely happened as malnutrition as a child. Last night when I read this article, I just remembered he was from Turkey, whatever, didn't think about it again. And today when I was listening to this book I've been listening to called Deep Nutrition, I'm not saying that this guy was part of that, but she told a story about a group of people in Turkey that were being studied because the mothers were all having kids with, like, they were super short, like a rare new form of dwarfism. And it turned out because they used to make really nutritious foods in that region, and then, like, grocery stores and stuff like that came about with, like, cheap, crappy foods that had, like, no nutrition, and all of the kids were missing, and mothers were missing some really important, I don't remember which ones, but really important vitamins. And it's just like, you can't just like be 25 and be like, oh, now I know that, so I'm going to start taking vitamins. And it's because you're done growing at that point. It's really unfair.
I want to go to the phones here. We have Neil on the line in Arizona. Neil, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Hey, you guys remember me. You want to know how they made him taller?
Yes.
You know what the surgery is? Have you ever seen somebody that has broken their leg and they have around their legs called an external fixator? It's like round pieces of steel with screws that are going in to hold the bones.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. They do something like that. They put that on your leg. They break your leg. And as the bones start to grow together, they slowly extend that, make it longer, and kind of tease the bones to keep growing, and it makes them longer, and then they let them grow together.
Oh, wow.
That's right. It says in the article, explains it in more detail, but basically instead of like a kind of like a turnkey on the back of a wind-up doll, instead of that, there's a button that would be given to the patient. So the guy, Abraham, goes home with this button, and once or however many times a day, he presses the button, and it does its thing. Like, moves the bones apart. Yeah, they like break the bones, and then yeah, they're fusing back together.
You recoil. I'm like, yeah, that sounds about normal for surgery.
Yeah, but surgeries freak me out.
Wow.
I mean, thank you for the explanation. It's again, so having had two surgeries, $26,000 is kind of a steal.
Okay, so just to be clear, this takes time, right? Like, yeah. This isn't just you go in, go under the knife, and come out 2 inches taller. It's we break your leg, set you with this thing, and then you have to
it
go
takes
through
months.
Months, yeah.
He's in a wheelchair in some of these pictures. I mean, presumably, he did regain the ability to walk, but it did at least partially take away his ability to walk.
That's amazing. Neil, what else did you want to share?
Hey, Aria, you're there, right?
I believe so.
Aria, what are you doing on Sunday at about 3:06 California time?
AM or PM?
PM.
Fair question.
Okay.
I don't know. What is that, like noon our time?
No, 6 p.m. here.
6:06.
In which case, I believe I'd be at work. Why?
Because I wanted you to call into the radio station that I listen on and talk to one of the guys that's on live there on K-Talks on Sundays at that time.
What's the show?
Rob Hansen is called, the Rob Hansen Radio Program, he calls it. And he's a transgender.
I feel like you've told us about him before. Or somebody has.
Yeah, someone told us about a popular radio host somewhere in, I want to say it was New Mexico, though. And
K-Talks is in Arizona.
Okay.
Actually, he's in Needles, California is where
technically, yeah, that's where the station is, yeah.
If you want to shoot me an email at aria@freetalklive.com, that's the best way, because I'm going to forget everything about tonight's show as soon as I leave here tonight. But if you can email me at aria@freetalklive.com, that'll remind me, and I may not be able to do it this Sunday, but I can certainly schedule out the time for me to call and talk to this guy.
But what kind of thing did you want Aria to talk to him about?
Transgenderness.
No. Okay. Not my favorite topic, but sure.
If I can get to some place where I can get to internet. So currently, I don't have internet at home, and I don't even have it on my phone. So,
all right. Well, I made a note here for Aria in case she wants to do that.
And the call-in number, if you do remember, is 855. 586-9134.
Ian's writing that down. So Ian's making a note, and I will add it to my calendar for a few weeks from now so that I mean, stay listening to the show, and I will let you know when I've scheduled out a time for me to call this guy and hopefully talk to him. I think I'll email him first and try to set something up.
Thank you, Neil, for the call tonight. Appreciate it. Time for you. If you want to join us here, the number is 603-283-6160. You can bring up absolutely anything you want. A little bit more on this leg lengthening thing that's going on and sounds pretty intense. There's more coming up. This is Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at mysolarbackup.com.
USA News Update. A parade of cyclones beating an already storm-weary California, bringing threats of flooding and landslides. Thousands of evacuations underway in Northern California. National Weather Service meteorologist Courtney Carpenter says another series of storms is about to move in.
We're looking at our next round of heavy rain with this system moving in tonight into Tuesday morning. This will bring a period of gusty winds.
Following a brief break, another atmospheric river arrives late Friday through Sunday with the heaviest rainfall expected. expected on Saturday. Buffalo Bills player DeMar Hamlin is back home at a new hospital.
DeMar Hamlin has been released and returned to Buffalo.
Dr. William Knight of the University of Cincinnati Medical Center said Hamlin returned to his home city and is starting the next phase of his recovery. On Sunday, Hamlin posted pictures and updates on social media as he watched the Bills' regular season finale against the New England Patriots. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. shopsupertea.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
The phones are open and you can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. I do want to say thank you to Jack, who is a Free Talk Live supporter of our AMPS program. You can go to amps.freetalklive.com and you can help support what we do here on Free Talk Live. It's a way to directly support our mission to spread the ideas of peace and liberty and freedom and good economics and that sort of thing all across the United States and beyond to the internet as well. We got about 170 plus great radio stations that air the show at various different times throughout the week. We can have more than that, and people like Jack make that possible. So thank you, Jack, for doing that over at amps.freetalklive.com. That's where you can sign up. It's our Patreon. You can use your debit card, credit card, your PayPal account. You get some perks like access to the Amp Only podcast that has the full radio show without recorded commercials, and there are some other bennies that you'll get as well. So head on over to amps.freetalklive.com. Here tonight, it's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Aria.
Of course, we're in our third hour. That means everybody decides it's time to call in to this open phone show.
So naturally.
We're going to go back to it. But if we get the chance, we'll dig further into this story about the leg lengthening surgery, which is a shocker, but apparently it's a thing. We go first to Bob. He's in West Virginia. Bob, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey there. Listen, I'm sure a lot of folks haven't heard yet that day before yesterday, President Biden had come out with his recent executive order directing the Treasury Department, the Commerce Department, and other departments in his administration to draw up plans on how to move the United States into a cashless society, which means that you would no longer be carrying cash. You'd have a digitized card, and the Federal Reserve would load your card for you and you would transfer all of your funding to those who work. Let's say the kid next door mows your lawn. You're supposed to transfer some of that money to his account, and that's the way you do business. Now, in China, they're saying this is a great idea. You keep hearing about how the Chinese model is the best. Well, in China, they have social scores. Mm-hmm. That's how much money you get or how much currency you get put into your account by what books you read, what you buy, how long you spend playing video games, and all these other partisan requirements for getting a good social score or a poor social score. There is an electrical engineer in China. He cannot even take a flight on an airplane because he has criticized the government on various points.
Right. This is all the reason that people shouldn't, you know, like these digital currencies, because without the digital currency, I mean, that's what it's shaping out to be. It's the mark of the beast sort of thing, where if you have a digital wallet with the Federal Reserve or the U.S. government or whatever, and they don't like what you say, they just turn off your ability to use money. Facebook Pay has something very similar, and they wanted something even worse, where, like, if they weren't happy about what you sent on Facebook, bam, there you go. No more being able to send or receive money on Facebook. Similar things with PayPal, right. Cash App, and other competitors to that. The issue is that we already have a dollar that is like 98-99% digital at this point. We already have a digital currency, man.
Well, 61% of all of our petty cash, petty arrangements for purchasing stuff is done with cash. But that'll all disappear. You see, once we get rid of cash in your wallet, you're going to have to go through the government to buy and sell things.
Yeah, we already do. I work at a pizza place, man.
Exactly correct.
And on an average Friday, we do like $13,000-$14,000 in sales, something like that. Mm-hmm. And
what percentage cash?
Yeah, usually I have a deposit to make of about $300.
Wow.
Yeah, so I mean, we're not even like 1% cash at this point.
Yeah, Bob, this is something we've been talking about. Sorry, Bob, we just want to let you know. We've been talking about the so-called central bank digital currency now for a couple of years here on Free Talk Live. Now, when did you say this executive order came into play?
This was 2 days ago.
2 days ago?
And,
where did you hear it?
He basically ordered the various agencies of government to draw up a plan on how to squire in this new cashless society.
Are you sure you're not talking about the one from earlier in 2022? Because there was a lot of hubbub
over
that.
This is one from day before yesterday.
Where did you catch wind of this one?
I was surfing the net over at the library in Charleston, and I came across it. It was right there.
You don't have the number handy, do you?
The number of what?
The executive order.
No, I don't. I was just skimming. I was doing some business, basically.
Maybe you could just pull up, like, most recent executive orders or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's just because when I looked it up, I found examples from an example from earlier in 2022 where there's actually a lot of mainstream media, quote-unquote, debunking of, like, AP, for instance, has a whole article here about, oh, no, this order's not about bringing in a cashless society, you know, fake news, this isn't about that, when, of course, it is a step in that direction.
Very plain and exact. They really do wish to squire in a cashless society.
Well, they've already done it, though.
They've been working on that for a long time, for sure.
Well, I'm saying absolute cashless.
It'll never be truly successful because things like cryptocurrency already exist, and they provide an out from that system.
But it's not quote-unquote cash, right? That's still another digital currency. There's going to be people who still want to have something in their hands.
Sure.
And, of course, you can't get rid of the gold back either. That's another alternative that you can physically keep and that you can physically hand to people. I'll take a look for this one
here. It looks like there hasn't been one in 2023. According to...
I'm going to send you both white papers.
Okay, feel free. I did give you my email address on that one. But I think that you're absolutely right, Bob. This is definitely some, whether or not there was an order within the last 2 days, Bonnie says there hasn't been one yet this year. Mm-hmm. It's probably, I'm guessing what you probably saw was a report written about the thing that came out in 2022, which a lot of people were proclaiming was about moving towards a cashless society. And I think you're right. I think that it absolutely is. They are trying to do that. That is what one of their goals is with the central bank digital currency, which they are currently developing. Now, they haven't yet put that into play. Right. It's not a done deal. They're still trying to figure out how best to screw the American people and keep the banks on top of everything. So,
well, they also have to figure out the money laundering problem too, because like they still have to have a way to get drugs to get money to the drug dealers in Colombia to buy weapons and stuff like that.
Right. Plus, the politicians still need a way to get paid off.
Right.
So they got to figure out. They got details to figure out. But Bob, thanks for the call tonight. Thanks for the heads up on the problems down there in West Virginia. We got a radio station with some dead air.
Absolutely.
Thanks for the heads up, man. I appreciate it. That's Bob there in West Virginia.
And you know, Canada doesn't have a CBDC yet or a completely cashless society yet, but they were turning off people's bank accounts for, you know, just protesting against them last year.
Yeah,
PayPal wanted to do something similar recently. I think they dialed it back a little bit due to pushback, but central bank digital currencies, they're certainly scary. I'm not a Christian unless you subscribe to the notion that Satanism is a denomination of Christianity, and I sort of, I'm not going to argue with you to take that position. Anyway, I'm not a Christian, but the central bank digital currency thing, it has every facet to it that you would expect the mark of the beast, as mentioned in the book of Revelation, to have. It's a method of control. It's a way, I mean, if you don't have the mark, you can't buy or sell or work.
Yeah, I mean, look, you can at least see this coming, right? Like, there's been decades where it's been talked about. Alex Jones, for instance, 20 years ago was talking about this. Last 20 years as well. I remember Alex Jones talking about implants, right? Like the chip. Everybody's going to have the chip.
Yep.
That kind of thing. We don't have that yet, but the technology is here. It's just not, they are not forcing it on people just yet, because right now it's good enough that everybody has a phone in their pocket, and that's essentially good enough.
But facial recognition.
But how far are we from, okay, we can just have your crypto wallet implanted in the chip on the back of your hand, then you don't have to scan any QR codes or any of that.
It's here. The tech's here. I mean, it can be done. There are people who have done those things, but it's all been done on a voluntary basis so far. And that's how they're going to roll out the CBDC, is it's going to appear to be a voluntary thing. They're going to convince people to accept this. They're not going to hold you down and shove the CBDC wallet onto your phone. They're going to give you a welfare payment.
Well,
they're
people love convenience. They could just be like, it's like Apple Pay, but you just use your hand.
Sure, and that may come around eventually, but that's not where they're going to start it. They're going to say, look, here's a welfare payment. Hey, you guys remember when we gave you that $1,400 check during COVID? Well, now we're going to give you a $2,000 check. That's right. Of course, $2,000 won't buy what, you know, $300 did at the time, you know, a few years ago. But regardless, they'll still, you know, they'll come up with some arbitrary number and they'll give it away. And they'll say, look, we just want you to sign up. You're going to need this app if you ever want to receive a payment from Social Security, if you ever want to receive your tax refund. And we just wanted to get you started on this. Come on board. You'll get your $2,000 one-time payment from the federal government. Or, hell, maybe they'll even be doing a UBI by that point. And then it's like, hey, if you want to get in this UBI, this universal basic income here, $500 a month.
That's how they'll sell it.
Yeah. You got to do a sign up for this government app, this Federal Reserve app. And so that's what it's going to be. It's going to be for the government payments first and foremost. Then they're probably going to get the corporations, the big corporations, Walmarts, et cetera, on board to accept it as payment.
Yep. And Amazon would be a key player. If they get Amazon to take it, almost every American would be willing to do it.
And then you'll be able to use this app to receive your paychecks eventually from these same big corporations that are willing to accept it as payments. Will also be asked or told that they'll have to pay their people in this. And so then the whole of corporate America will be completely taken in amongst this particular app. You'll then only have the unbanked and the crypto hardcores and the people who are like the outlaw types that won't want to have anything to do with this. It's going to be
And the Christians. The Christians will hold the line on this one for a very long time.
You think so?
Well, I think they'll want to. But I think that as we learn...
I think they've got a principled bone in their body. Look at COVID.
Yeah, I think as we learned from watching COVID-19, that if the Antichrist comes along and says, hey, we're going to keep you safe, love us, embrace us, worship us, these Christians will be on their knees in a heartbeat saying, thank you.
I think we learned that from Trump because, my parents completely believe, God wants us to vote for Trump, and it doesn't matter, what bad things come out about him, and the more he, the more the people promoting him, at least, sounded like false prophets, and everyone will be tricked. It didn't matter. They were like, oh, God, what the person on God TV told me to vote for Trump.
Are they still on the Trump train after 4 years and all the broken promises?
My parents?
Yeah.
Yeah. They think that he's, he's not perfect, but...
See, it was COVID-19 and my grandmother and the vaccine for me because, watching my grandmother get the vaccine, and this was at a time when the vaccine passports was coming on, all of this, and, you and my uncle, both of whom are hardcore, you got to get the vaccine and be safe, blah, 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 blah. My whole life, they had actual bunkers set up that they were terrorizing us when we were kids, saying, hey, look, the Antichrist is going to take over. He's coming. This is going to happen. We've got these bunkers here. We're stockpiling them with ammunition and food because one day you're going to be patrolling these streets out in 1999. Mm-hmm. You're going to be patrolling around our house. And if you hear anything, don't ask questions. Just turn and shoot. I'm 10 years old. They brainwashed us with this nonsense. And 20 years later, they're bending over for the beast.
Amazing.
Like, yes. Please, can I have your mark, sir?
That's crazy.
Wow.
That's really crazy.
Let's go to the phones here. We got Sarah on the line in New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live.
Oh, I just wanted to mention that they stopped talking about building that lake when they remodeled that mall. So they finally...
What the hell are you talking about, Sarah?
She called us
previously.
Yeah,
San Antonio Riverwalk thing?
Yeah, they were talking. It's like some big government building project.
Oh, they're trying to copy San Antonio.
Build some kind of mall.
No, it's not. We don't have a river to make like that.
So they're going
to
build a lake.
Malls that was failing. So they wanted to build a bar over a lake, man-made lake.
Yeah.
Up towards a way, 5 miles up from the river.
The San Antonio one is man-made, too.
Okay.
So the thing is, it's ridiculous, and I think they put a stop to it because this is the...
I thought you were a fan of this idea. I thought the last time you called in, you were saying this was going to be a big deal for Albuquerque and that it was going to help the economy, and now you're saying you think it's a good idea to stop it?
Well, here's the thing. I thought this was a really good idea. I was sold on it on the news. And then what happened was I talked to one of the store owners that lived here for many, many generations, born and raised here in New Mexico. And then he brought up there how selfish they are just hoarding all the water like this. And obviously these people, the developers are from out of state, like Minneapolis, Lando Lakes, something like that, where they have the education to build a mall, but they're not, they don't.
Yeah, you don't have that education down there in New Mexico, huh? People can't build things. Got to have the out-of-towners come in from Minneapolis.
Well, of course.
I just thought you leftists opposed climate change. What else would you call this? You're building a man-made lake?
Well, she's now opposed to it.
Oh.
She talked to somebody who didn't like it, so she changed her mind.
I'm talking about the native people that's been here for generations, how the water is so scarce that... We just have zero scape landscaping. People go out of their way to save water, and this is like being hoardish. But again, like you said, there are no educated developers that can develop proper buildings here, by the way. You are correct.
Well, why the hell are you still there, Sarah?
I don't see how that's possible.
Is it legal in New Mexico to collect rainwater?
Well, I mean, that's a big thing, is that we've been collecting rainwater, and I'm kind of thinking, why are these people doing this? And it dawned on me because of the water scarcity. And you know something?
Why people who lived in the desert were collecting rainwater, Sarah? This wasn't immediately obvious to you?
No, it took me a while for me to, Dana, why are these sort of faucets, these bowls with this whole bath? What are these people doing here?
Sarah gets her bottled water from her welfare check, so she doesn't have to do that.
Maybe they're just so uneducated they don't even know they can leave. You know, it's like Pleasantville or something. They think this is the only place on the on Earth.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I mean, they do certain things well here in New Mexico. I have to give credit about the environmental stuff. But when it comes to planning and designing, like running like a business construction, they're not that great. In fact, when an Oregon company wanted to build a call center, they wanted to hire their construction people from Oregon. And then they said, no, you're going to hire our New Mexico construction people.
Okay, so Sarah, what do they do well there? You said they do things well there in New Mexico. Like, give me an example. What is New Mexico good at?
Drag races.
Okay, we're very, very environmental. We're very good with the air, clean energy. We came in third for the cleanest or uncontaminated soil.
Would you describe building a man-made lake as being good for the environment?
Well, they put a stop to it. People put a stop to it, people that are from here, because they stopped talking about it. They have to have some kind of other attraction. And they're very good with the green chili, by the way. And then
the green chili.
Experts in roasting
green
and roasting
chili.
Green chili.
Okay.
And they want the people want in Europe that want to buy our green chili.
Okay, good to know. That may be a reason to take that other turn to Albuquerque and stop by and have some green chili. Thanks for the call.
Well,
tonight,
Ian,
Sarah,
you know what? Your comment about Pleasantville, it's just true of people, a lot of people, not everyone, in small towns. They just act
they
like,
leave.
This is the only part, or this is the only place I could live, for whatever reason. And they talk, when you hear them talk, sometimes you're just like, whoa, you really don't know anything about just like the places, the states around you. No, I'm not talking about the world, it's not like I'm some super worldly person, like, ha ha ha, you small. It's just like, you don't know anything, like, there's this girl on the small military base I lived on, in Utah, who said, I just realized one day that in Utah, lots of people are Mormons, but outside of Utah, it's probably only like 20% of people are Mormons.
Not even, right?
No, like way less than that.
There may be 20 total Mormons in the state of New Hampshire.
Let's go to the phones here. We got David also in New Mexico. David, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, there's probably as low a percentage of Mormons as there are Jews, like 2.4%. And build it, and they will come. Sounds like an ad for a sex toy. Did you see me in a Kevin Costner movie?
What?
In a movie with Kevin Costner.
Which movie?
Swing Vote. Didn't you see me?
Swing Vote?
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I've never heard of it.
Wasn't he also in, I can't think of the
name.
Does
he still make
Waterworld?
Yeah, he was. Does he still make movies after Waterworld?
I don't think anyone involved with Waterworld ever recovered.
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't that sink his career?
Yellowstone. He's doing Yellowstone now.
Okay, all right.
I too like to sue random federally owned parks. Did you say he's suing Yellowstone?
I think he's doing.
Oh.
Okay.
Doing. That's not a sexual reference either.
No, I would be surprised if it was.
Why am I the only one that laughed at David's sex jokes?
I was shocked, and I wanted to move on from it.
It's probably apparently it's a TV series, and so Yellowstone is a multi-season TV series.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Sarah's actually correct. You could easily make a San Antonio and Albuquerque because you got the Rio Grande, which actually has more cubic feet of flow than the San Antonio River does by about four times on average. And it's all on the level, so you could run that river wherever you wanted to all around downtown. And the fact that if they wanted to store, oh, by the way, right here, if I go kick this barrel, that's a couple barrels. I got 2,000 gallons of rainwater stored from here in the desert. I live off of rainwater. I don't haul any water. All of my water comes from the rain. I got 2,000 gallons right here. I could have 20,000 gallons if I had the, container to put it in.
But don't you think if they did do a San Antonio style river walk in Albuquerque, ultimately it would be better for the poor people because it would bring attractions and jobs and stuff like that? Because people love the river walk in San Antonio.
Yeah, it would be very cool. Then they should do it and it would do all good things. Yes, and it's not a waste of water either because if you look at all of New Mexico's water is already stored in man-made lakes. All of their water is already stored in man-made lakes. I mean, all the surface water, not counting the water people who have wells.
Mm-hmm.
But and so, what is one more man-made lake? It's nothing. All of the water that the Rio Grande, all of that water that they would be using to do their river walk and a man-made lake, all of that water, if they don't use it in Albuquerque to make a man-made lake there, It just goes downstream about 80 miles to Elephant Butte Reservoir, and it sits in a man-made lake in Elephant Butte Reservoir until they let it go out of there and it goes to Texas.
Yay, geography. Thanks for calling tonight with the update on the lake project.
Appreciate I'm glad he had more info for us than just Sarah, because I have many questions still.
By the way, apparently Kevin Costner has had a career. I haven't heard of really any of these movies, but he has been in quite a few. Well, I guess he's been in Batman versus Superman. That's one I've heard of. Never seen it, but...
I actually saw that one. It's like one superhero movie I saw. My dad wanted to watch it.
Well, I mean, what is an unsuccessful Hollywood actress? Someone who only makes 300 grand a movie or something? I mean, like...
I don't know.
One movie every 3 or 4 years, and he's set for
he's
life anyway.
Yeah,
so,
that's
I mean,
for sure. He's getting the bills paid. He's had a bunch of them.
He could probably have retired after Field of Dreams and probably have just been just fine if he didn't have a coke habit. I don't know if he's got a coke habit or not. I'm not saying he does. But if he doesn't have a coke habit or something like that, then Field of Dreams probably has him set for life anyway.
Yeah, he hasn't hit 70 yet. He's in his late 60s. And apparently he starred in a short film called Field of Dreams 2.
Hmm.
So there's a sequel to Field of Dreams. Came out in 2011, according to IMDb.
See, because now I'm curious about the original Field of Dreams. Was it really, as I remember it, it was just some dude with the farm who was like, I'm going to play baseball with ghosts, basically? Because that's what I remember about it. It's like, first of all, who makes a movie about that? And if they do, why is it successful? Right, so now I want to go back and watch Field of Dreams just to see if 4-year-old me had it right. It's just this dude hanging out watching ghosts play baseball, which that's a weird. That's a weird plot for a movie, man.
I never seen it. Baseball movies are just terrible, but that sounds really terrible.
Well, I mean, you still haven't seen the new Avatar yet.
I'm not,
and I do have an article about the new Avatar. Just, it's something we haven't gotten to yet. It hasn't been as important as fireworks spans and that sort of thing.
I'm not likely to watch the new Avatar anytime soon, unfortunately.
All right. Well, we may have to talk about it.
3.5 hours,
right? We may have to talk about it anyway, because I think you'll still be able to comment on it. You don't have to see the movie in order to comment on it.
Is there a cliff notes or like it? Can I watch a YouTube review for like 10 minutes that will fill me in?
Ian played a YouTube review of these guys I usually think are pretty good, and I wanted nothing to do with the movie after listening to theirs. But when I watched the movie, I was like, wow, this is actually great. It kept my attention the whole time.
I'll watch the cinema sins of it.
All right. You'll have to tell me what that is in a little bit. We'll see you tomorrow night online. In the meantime, you can join us at freetalklive.com.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.